Thank you. There it's on. I'm moving back and forth.
Yep. All right.
We're good.
Ta-da! Now I'm all connected. We've been having some difficulty with a few of you online. And so what we've been working on is different ways to position the mic or how to do this to make it easier for you to hear and if we may have to go to another mic. So we're trying something new. My husband, of all of his wisdom, he looked at me and Ben and I were going the mic around and we said, oh, it works better this way. And he said, yes, it's the type of mic it is. You look, it has a left and a right stereo. We had been only having it one direction instead of both. So we're trying it today. If it doesn't work, if any of you online are having any difficulty hearing, we invite you to comment, please, on our Facebook and the live feed, or you can email Pastor Ben and I. We are working. We will get this figured out, guys. So I'll go on to this. Good morning. Long introduction, wasn't it? I'm Pastor Susan. I'm one of the pastors here at Cornerstone, and we would like to welcome you all, everyone who's in the sanctuary and online, and hopefully you can hear me clearly. I am going to share our announcements for the week with you. Our first one is, the youth last year had planned on doing, before COVID, a You've Been Egged fundraiser, where they were going to get eggs and you could pay for them and go deliver them all around to people in the neighborhood. Well, we missed that because of COVID, and we're still trying to figure out how to do this safely. So we are doing a You've Been Blessed pumpkin sale, all right? What it is, it's $10 per pumpkin, but in the narthex, the entryway, you will see there's something that says You've Been Blessed. And what it is for $10, we will give them a pumpkin. It will be delivered quietly, secretly to their house. It will have a tag to, from, but in with it, on their door, just like we were doing with You've Been Egged, on their door, it has the pumpkin gospel on it. So it tells how to do your pumpkin and how to use that to share God's love, God's truth, gospel with it. So if you would like to support the youth, and also, it's just fun to have the kids wake up or come home and see a pumpkin there and that it's for them. Just let us know either online or you can fill out paperwork, like I said, that's out in the narthex. Now, we were planning on being outside today and we're inside because of the weather and we thank you, God, for the rain. Really do. But with that, we have packets we made for the kids to have in here. Now, those of you who are online, you haven't been seeing what's been going on before church. Our adults and our kids, and especially the fathers, have been really enjoying the paddle balls that are in it. So, what we would like to just say is during the service time, please do not paddle ball. Instead, you can color them, but after service, play all you want. Sunday, October 5th, we have serving opportunity at the Topeka Rescue Mission. Please be there at 4:30 to serve. Contact with Ann if you are interested and check our weekly email for the parking details, everything going on there. Like I said earlier, we kind of missed a lot of things with COVID. And with our kids and with our church as a whole, we want to have fun this fall. We really do. It's been a long summer. We can all agree. So what we are going to do is on October 25th, which is the Sunday before Halloween, we are going to have an Easter in October egg hunt, all right? Ben will be starting a Sunday to Sunday series, and it'll be focused on what some people call Holy Week, but it will be the week before Easter and everything. Details you usually don't get a lot of, you know, when you try to cram it all into Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. So, what we would ask, like you to do, if you are able, is to please donate candy next week so the youth can fill the eggs. We're asking for next week because we want them all individually wrapped. And we do have some that have peanut butter or nut allergies, so none that have that in it. But with that, the youth are going to, on a Wednesday during youth, they're going to fill the eggs. But we want to let them set for 7 to 10 days beforehand, which is what's recommended, so be completely safe for the kids. Also, we have kids smaller. We really do have toddlers now. You may not see them, but they've been back in the preschool room off and on. And with those, if you would like to bring small toys or stickers or anything that would stick in an egg, we're going to do that for them also. This Sunday night, as like other Sunday nights, which is a really, really good thing, it's been a consistency during this time, there is a Zoom Bible study. They're going to be starting on the book of Acts. So the link to it, if you would like to join in on the study on the book of Acts, it will be in the church email. And if you don't get our weekly email, just contact the church. You can phone, you can, you know, email us or anything, and we will make sure you get the link. And I think, honestly, that is all of our announcements this week. So would you please join me in prayer? Father God, I come to you with just my heart full. I look at the rain and I am so grateful because it reminds me of your cleansing and your refreshing. How it brings new life. And even though fall is not usually the season we associate it with, it to me it seems so perfect with what we're going to be starting with our Easter and October service about from death to new life. And we celebrate that today. And God, I ask that you be with everyone in our congregation, here in the sanctuary, and online. You know their needs. You know where they're at. And you, God, hear their prayers. And we join together in agreement with them. And we know that, Lord, your will be done. We thank you, God, for your touch on each and every one of us. We thank you that you have been through doctor's appointments, through surgeries, through our ups and downs, through the school journey that we're all on, so many of us. And we know that we are not alone, for you are always with us. And for that, we give you honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, church. You know, whether we're inside or outside or at home online, we can all come together and meet with our God on a Sunday morning, right? So we get to enjoy the rain today and still inside. So feel free to stand with us this morning and we'll get this thing turned up. Yep. We'll praise the Lord again.
I'm here to be with you. Come and be with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me as I wait. You make me strong as I am. Draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come, you come. Come and fill this place. by grace alone somehow I stand. Where even angels fear to tread, invited by redeeming love, before the throne of God above. Grips my heart, and Satan tempts me to despair. I hear the voice that scatters fear. The great I am, the Lord is here. Oh, praise the one.
Open up my eyes in wonder.
of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
It says, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. We will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. We're going to sing together, I have decided to follow Jesus. You can be seated if you'd like.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning
There we go. Half of there we go. There we go. All right. I'm live and rocking now. Yeah, I put something on the stage. It's all right. It's strange. That's fine. You still willing to help me, Carter? Fantastic. Well, then I'm going to let you come up, and I'm going to get off to the side. Carter is going to help me. He does not know what he is about to do, but what he's about to do is he is going to run a very, very short obstacle course. Super short. If you want to start over on this side, so you're going to be coming from stage what directions? Left to right. And if I can persuade you to go to the right of the yellow cones, the left of the red cone, bowling pin cones, and then stand in the middle of the hula hoop. That's all you got to do. Please do not fall. Please. It will be very, very bad. Don't fall. You don't have to run through this. But you ready? All right, go for it. Glorious. Fantastic. Now, wait a second. I need you to do it one more time. If you can come over here back to and do this all again. And if I can persuade you to do it while looking at me, for those of us viewing online, I am off screen on your left. So you're going to look at me, and you're going to do the same thing. Again, please, do not fall. But let's go for it. You going to make it? Got that bump? All right. Taking a little longer. Is he going to make the hula hoop? There we got it. All right. Thank you, Carter. Please go ahead. Actually, if you want to grab that hula hoop for me and this yellow bowling pin, we don't need these distractions. Our kids might want to participate with these later. I appreciate it. Thanks, Carter, for being a good sport. Carter, by the way, for those of you who don't know, was honored, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, as a soccer senior at Care Paravel. So I figured, being a soccer player, you know, defensive stance, moving backwards, he would be the right person to ask for this. Was it a little difficult moving backwards? Like, I know you were going slow. You weren't into the deep backpedal or anything, but it was kind of, it was odd, right? Like, you overcorrected one way, and then as you shimmied the other way, a little bit difficult. It's not easy moving forward when you're looking back. And that's a little bit about what we are going to be talking about today, talking about when we are looking backwards and how that can sometimes complicate our lives, especially when we see people in the Bible that do that. I don't know if you guys know this about Caitlin. You wouldn't know this about Caitlin, because our entire time here, it's been 3 years now, our entire time here, she has not been in a space where she can run easily. Back before her heart failure days, Caitlin was a pretty avid runner. She was a runner in middle school. She ran the mile, and in classical Caitlin fashion, it was kind of a social event for her. So she was running the mile, and she got really near to the finish line and started talking to the person behind her and right into a 2-foot-wide support beam. I'm sorry, baby. I trust that your face is still good. But when we look back, as we are racing forward, as we're in the journey, whatever journey we're a part of, if we are looking back, it can sometimes be hard to move forward. And today we are talking about a people group that is looking backwards. We're in our Finding the Way series, our series out of Exodus, Finding the Way, and today we are talking about what we just sang, which is No Turning Back. And if you've been reading along with us in this series, if you've been reading through the book of Exodus, we're actually going to be moving past some of the more famous stories right now. You've got Moses. We talked last week about the burning bush and how God called Moses to help him. And Moses was supposed to go to the people of Israel and help free them. And so there was a confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh, a lot of words back and forth, some distrust by the people of Israel, not sure what's going on. There were the plagues, which were really significant. And through all of this, Moses and Pharaoh were having a showdown, which is a really bad idea if you're on the side of Pharaoh. Because when God is on one side of the teeter-totter, you know, there are two sides of a teeter-totter. When God is on one side, you want to make sure you're on that side and not the other one. Amen? Yes, agreed? And Pharaoh was not. Pharaoh took the other side. There were some plagues. God decisively showed people what God wanted. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians finally relented and let Israel go, which is where we get to this piece in our story. For those of you who would like to follow along in your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 14. We're going to be in verses 5 through 14. And let me get it up on the screen and adjust my mic, hopefully, for the last time. One of the disadvantages about online stuff is I can't, like, glue this mic to my face. We'll explore that later. But anyways, Exodus 14, 5 through 14. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. "What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away?" they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots in Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Fir Haharoth across from Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. When they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" But Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Out of Egyptians 14, 5 through 14. Exodus, Egypt, out of Egyptians. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate it. What were you saying, Yvonne?
Whole new book.
More of God's Word to explore. No, sadly, Pastor Ben is not inventing new books of the Bible. Please don't let people think that. Well, a piece of this story that I had not picked up on this week, because I've read this story frequently. Like, this is one of the big stories of the Bible, you know, Moses near the Red Sea. This is right before the Red Sea thing, you know, that the thing that we all think of when we think of the book of Exodus, not the book of Egypt. But this happens, and one of the things that I picked up on that I had never picked up on before was how Egypt, the leaders of Egypt, how they started looking back. The leaders of Egypt, they changed their minds. They said, "What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away?" And they're essentially saying, "How dumb are we letting those people we treated as property get away? Let's go get them back again." First off, that's a really bad idea. I know that we don't think this in today's day and age, or we hope that there aren't people that think this way, but human beings are not property of any sort. And back at that time, that was something that happened absolutely not good, and we can recognize how it was not good. Wherever there are people that are viewing other human beings as you know, theirs, that is not the way of Jesus, and that is worth opposing. But that's not what caught my eye. What caught my eye when I looked at this passage was seeing what Pharaoh did. He looked backwards and he said, "I wish it could be the way it was before. Remember that time when I didn't have to build these pyramids by myself? I wish we could go back to that." And he said, "I wish it could be that way again." And I think this opens us up to recognizing one of the difficult truths of being human is that if we look back and all we do, if the only thing that we do is we stare and we look back, a few kind of troubling things can happen. First off, we don't see the mistakes that are in the past. I mean, Egypt here, when Pharaoh is looking back, he's not thinking, "Oh, I treated these people terribly. Probably shouldn't have done that." No, that's not what he's looking at. He looked past those mistakes. And when we only spend our time looking back, we sometimes don't see the mistakes of our past. We sometimes move past them. We see the past with rosy-colored glasses. And secondly, maybe more importantly, when you spend all your time, when the only thing you do is you look at the past, you're not looking at right now, and how God is moving, what is happening in the here and now. You can't move forward. It was really difficult for you to move forward, even at your slow pace, but it was difficult for you to move forward when, you know, you were backpedaling and looking backwards. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't remember what's gone on. That is not what I am saying at all. It's not that we shouldn't ever look at our past, that we shouldn't celebrate. That is not it. If that is what you are hearing, please, one, forgive me, and two, that is not what we're talking about. But Pharaoh here is only looking back and is saying, you know what, I really wish it could go back to the way that it was right then, even though that is clearly not where God is at and not what God is doing. God has made his will pretty clear. I am taking the people out of Egypt. And Pharaoh is missing it when he looks at his past. And so Pharaoh charged after the Egyptians, even though we know how this story ends in a couple of verses for Pharaoh. But here's the thing. It is not just Egypt that did this, right? Israel did this too. They had been in captivity and were a newly freed people. And look at what happens. Look at what they said. They said things like this. They said, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." And it seems like to me, like reading this passage this week, this just came clearly to my mind, and I had been clued in, of all people, by a therapist that Caitlin goes to, but a therapist that said, hey, look at the five stages of grief and see if that interacts with somebody in the Bible here. And I think this passage that we're in actually really clearly shows the five stages of grief that Israel was going through. You know, the five stages of grief, you've got despair or denial, bargaining, anger, despair. What have you done to us? Didn't we tell you this would happen? Now, if you know anything about the stages of grief, you know that usually you try and get to acceptance, right? That's where things end up, at acceptance, at accepting where things are. And I don't think the Israelites ever got there. Some of you are reading Exodus along with me. Any hands? Anybody get to a point where they think Israel accepted, got to the acceptance stage of what was happening? No? No takers? I didn't think so. I couldn't find it. I've been reading along too, and I couldn't find out where they were. But the people of Israel started looking back. And sure, life in Egypt was hard, but it's better than what's coming. Surely it was better than what was happening now, even though God was leading them. But the one of the things about life and about how we live and how we just exist in this world is that life doesn't work in reverse. It doesn't work backwards. We just don't look that way. We don't look that way. We don't work that way. Unlike ancient Egypt or ancient Israel, our pasts may not have been as rough as theirs was, but we still can't go back. We can wish for better things. We can want better things, absolutely. But life continues to move, and we have to move forward as well. When I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about the events of September 11, 9/11, and I don't know if any of you flew frequently back then. I certainly didn't, but I remember picking people up at the airport when, you know, you walked right up to the gate and you were right there at the gate when they came out from the plane, and that was just how life was. I'm drawing a couple of blank stares from some of our younger kids. Yeah, that doesn't make sense, does it? No? You weren't even alive. Goodness, I'm old. Anyways, But life has changed, and after what happened with that tragedy, with what happened, we understand that that's not something we can do. We greet people after or before the security gate. Something changed, and we move forward, not forgetting what has happened, and absolutely wishing for simpler times, wishing for the days, man, it would be so much nicer if we didn't have to deal with what we deal with now. But we can't go backwards because time, reality, life doesn't work that way. And I think where that interacts with us in the here and now is that we can wish we could go back to how things were before, and you can enter anything you want right there. I'm going to throw out back before COVID. I really enjoyed walking outside with Caitlin. That was a fun couple of years. It was really nice. That's not in crowds, mind you. That now I watch a TV show and there are crowds up on the screen, and I start to have a mini panic attack thinking about Caitlin walking through them. And again, that's my own stuff. We'll get through that stuff. Maybe I'm going to need to start seeing a therapist soon. We'll see. But you remember how things were before, and you want to go back. It's fine to wish for simpler of times, but we are where we are, and God is still at work in the here and now. I want to read Moses' words to the people of Israel, because I think Moses captured that. Moses, who, mind you, we talked about last week, Moses felt like he was unqualified. Moses didn't think that he was able to help God with God's project of bringing the people out of Egypt. And now he's done it, and Moses has connected with God at a deeper level. And I want us to listen to his words here. These are in verse 13. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Moses knew God. And he knew that God was doing something. And for all of his flaws, for all the ways that he didn't feel like he was up to the ability of bringing the people out of Egypt, Moses knew who God was. And Moses knew God would not be the type of person to free a people and then just abandon him. And so he speaks out in faith saying, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you. He asked the people of Israel to do something, just stand still. That kind of implies they were not just standing still. I don't know if there was a hubbub around the camp, you know. You get word that there's a bee swarm. You guys ever experienced that where somebody goes into the woods, finds some bees, and then runs back and everybody at the camp has to start packing up and heading out? Does that not happen to people here? That is not as common? Okay. All right. Caitlin's experiences are different than many of ours. You'll have to ask Caitlin about her many, many experiences walking through bees and dragging them back to camp. That was not something I've experienced, but you know, when rain was coming, imagine if we were out there and we were out having worship outside and all the rain's coming and we see it coming. You know, there's the bustle of trying to pack up, get everything together. And I have to imagine that's what the people of Israel were doing. They were packing everything up together, trying to get things together, kind of in a panic. And Moses says, stand still. Just stand still. Don't try and pack up your stuff. Don't try and maybe hightail it back to Egypt, is what some of them were thinking. Moses is saying, don't look back. Look at what God is doing right now. I think when we spend all of our time looking back instead of in what God is doing here and now, we can miss things, because our God is a brilliant God that changes strategies, it seems like, throughout the ages. You know, in times past, not too long ago, the way that God seemed to work, the way that things seemed to happen well for the church, is you would get a big tent together, you would get a preacher to start a revival, and then people would come and they would listen and would hear the message of God and connect with him. And that's what happened. Some of us remember that. I'm seeing nodding heads. Some of us remember that. Some of us may have participated in that. That was what happened. And then a few years later, people started changing things. One of the adaptations, how God seemed to be moving, was you got a big band together, and whether that band was playing rock music in a Christian style, or whether that band was singing some a cappella like Personal Touch, right? Yeah. Whether it was Personal Touch, and I'm not saying that's what Personal Touch was doing, but you would get people together and there would be something so that people could come to and see, and they would hear the message of God declared, and that's how they connected with God, and that's what happened. I'm thinking mostly, I didn't relate it to Personal Touch at all. When I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about, you know, the big mega churches in the 90s that would hire huge rock bands to come play for them, and that's how they got people to connect. And that seemed to be how people connected with God for a while. But if we hang on to those strategies, if we hang on to looking back, we can sometimes miss out on what God is doing now. And I just want to tell you, God is at work right now. If we look back and we don't look at what God is doing right now, we miss on things like how our youth group was connecting with community organizations, how they were volunteering and making our community a better place to be. We can miss out on seeing how God is using us in our relationships, connecting together in small groups, or connecting together just with people we know, seeing how God is at work and connecting with them in our lives, helping people, make people feel comfortable. We might miss out on how God is answering our prayers if we look back and we only say, God, the only way we're going to know you answer our prayers is if you are in a large pillar of fire like you were back in the time of the Israelites, then we will miss on how God is seen in the faces and in the helping hands of our sisters and brothers in Christ. Our God is at work in our world. God hasn't stopped. God is still at work in each and every one of our lives. And so I just want to encourage you in this season to not spend all of your time looking backward, but to look ahead and see what God is doing right now. And if you don't feel like God is working in your life, He is at work. Our God is a God that cannot be contained by any stretch of the imagination. God is at work. And so if you can't see how God is at work in your life, I invite you to pray. Ask God, God, how are you at work in my life? And I think you are going to get a response. I get why this season in life is scary. Greg was talking about it earlier, how things just seem to be piled up, and it's just such a tumultuous time in our world right now. I get that life is scary right now because we don't know what's going to happen. And you can say that about a number of things. We don't know what's going to happen with this virus, with the economy, with the election. There are a ton of unknowns that are coming. And it can be comforting for us to look backwards, but I want to encourage you, don't spend all your time looking there. Look at what God is calling us to. Look at how God is leading us forward and what God is doing in the here and now. I don't want to be somebody who is only looking at what has happened. I want to be looking at the path that God is leading us forward to, whether that is through the wind and through the waves. And so I just want to have us sing. I'm going to actually go up on stage. I remain steadfast in my commitment to not hit our front couple of rows with the splash zone when we sing. But but I want us to sing a song. So Patrick, could you get us over to the slide? The song that we sang earlier was, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. When we decide to follow Jesus, we are saying, God, I am with you and I am headed where you are. I'm going to go where you're going. I want to follow you. But there's a line in that song that says, no turning back, right? No turning back, no turning back. That's how the verses end. And so in some small way, I just want us to sing the song together and to commit that we will be following Jesus and seeing what God is doing right now, because our God is at work. So I'm going to invite you to just sing this with me. I'm going to hope that I choose the right note, the right key. John told me earlier that if I start singing off pitch, he's going to mute me. So sorry, online crew, you don't get that option, but our folks in house do. But let's sing this together. We're going to sing the first two verses is all. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Our God is a God that is at work right now. And so we're going to pray. We're going to invite him to be at work in our lives and to help us move forward into whatever season he's got for us. Whatever that looks like, we're game, because we want to move towards our God. So let's pray together. God, thank you that you are a God that is at work here and now. We recognize that it is tempting to focus our time on looking back at what you have done, because what you have done is amazing. It is awe-inspiring and it is wonderful, but we know you're not done with our world. We know that you are still at work right here, right now. And so, God, we pray that you would help us keep our eyes focused on you, not at what has happened, but at what you are doing. Help us see, help us sense what you are at work doing, and help us see how we can be a part of that. Help us see how we can be your people and how we can move forward towards you. We pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go this week moving forward. Go this week seeing what God is at work doing, and go in peace. Take care.